I am Frank Vaughn. It is February 18th, 2025, and I need to take you back in time to 2018, for this month is the anniversary of a meeting that was held in Calgary between Brad Wall, business leaders, and political influencers. Brad had just stepped down as Premier of Saskatchewan to be replaced by Scott Moe. He was there to discuss how to enhance the voice of the West within Canada. And the proposal on the table was to form something called the Buffalo Project. But one of Brad's conditions, the only condition really, was that any work that he did, if he lent his name to it, had to be tied to continuing membership within the federation known as Canada. And this is the mistake that Blakeney, Devine, Romano, Calvert, Wall, Moe, Lougheed, Getty, Klein, Stalmick, Redford, Hancock, Prentice, Notley, Kenny, and to a lesser degree, Daniel Smith. Every single one of them has been unwaveringly loyal to this federation, even though they fought the federal government in the 70s and the 80s to maintain control of resources. Further back in the past, what I've talked about with the rail lines and how they were laid out poorly, how they've had to fight Ottawa every step of the way, only to be rewarded in 2015 with the Trudeau government, who brought forth a carbon tax regime which would end the oil industry and the gas industry in these provinces. Why was Brad Wall so concerned with remaining part of this federation? Why are all these premiers unwilling to look east and see how Quebec has done so well for itself? They alone have worked this federation right. They alone aren't official participants. They stand above and separate, and we send them billions of dollars to keep them involved. And what do? Constantly threaten to leave, even though with a stroke of a pen they can do it, because they are voluntary participants. The referendums were a charade. The point here, the lesson to learn, is that the province that is always threatening Confederation has done the best by it. But for whatever reason, as the West suffers under the yoke of Eastern dominance, they remain steadfastly loyal to the idea of Canada. And although the West has the most intense, legitimate grievance with the management of this federation, it is not the West alone. Every citizen in this country has been disenfranchised. Your freedoms have been limited. Your charter has been imposed. Your constitution has been imposed. You get no direct referenda. You get no direct vote. Everything comes down from on high. Every 4 years, you get to mark an X on a ballot if you're lucky, and you get to hope, because your politicians have no accountability to you. And while they sit in power and appoint the government, which you also don't elect, and appoint the governor general, the head of state on behalf of the king, which you also don't elect, they appoint senators that sit in a house that decides on your laws for life until they're 75, virtually for life. Everybody in this nation's been disenfranchised. Why is everybody loyal to this federation? What are you loyal to? Look at my video work. Go back and check it out and think to yourself, what is it you're holding on to? The vast majority of Canadians cannot even define themselves except to say, we're not American. There are a plethora of bad takes propagating by the influencer class. And it's not time for me to start calling people out by name, but that time may come. But this is one such. America doesn't just want Canada, they need Canada. Wake up! Canada needs to diversify. Trump is unpredictable, and America is an unreliable trading partner that is threatening us. He wants to crush us into submission, to be annexed. Time to decouple. So we're going to take our most reliable trading partner. They buy everything we want to sell them. This is such a bad take. These people are so woefully uninformed. They're so quick to bandwagon with Team Canada. It's like they forgot what happened over the last several years. It's like they forgot the very freedom convoy that made them what they are. Most of these people blew up because of their association with the freedom convoy. It's not because they're smart. It's not because they're intellectual virtuosos. It's not because they read history books and understand how we got here, where we are, where we come from, and what the future could hold for us. It's because they were associated with a genuine grassroots movement that tried to defend the charter and tried to save this country, which was boot-stomped out of existence by Team Canada. Doug Ford didn't endorse it. I will say Scott Moe supported it. I will say that Daniel Smith gave it her nod. A movement that was born out of the West, that swept up the disenfranchised and the suffering in this country and went to Ottawa and got beat down by the Billy Club and broke up, had their bank account seized, had their lives ruined and destroyed after they had their lives ruined by a mandate that was unjust, forced and coerced into taking part in a medical experiment. And so many Canadians to this day say, you were never coerced, you were never forced, you had a choice. The very same would have said the Jews in Germany had a choice. They could have left in the 1930s. They could have taken that offer from the Nazi government to relocate to Israel, but they didn't, so they got what they deserved. That's their logic. These people who write these words forget what made them, forget where they came from. They're so interested in playing team sport for the Conservative Party of Canada, they've lost their ability to think. They want to be on the winning team. They want to be popular. They want that engagement. They're farming. That's why they write things like this that have absolutely no basis in fact. How can you sit there and write that they're an unreliable trading partner when they buy everything we sell them? 50% of Saskatchewan exports go to the United States. Do the math for every other province. So what this person would have us do is decouple from our close proximity geopolitical sibling partner. And they would have us trade more with the totalitarian communist government of China, which has rode roughshod over our culture. They are behind the rot of our great traditions like Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, our cultural traditions, which they have wokeified. They've influenced our gaming industry and our politics, and they've poured money into our universities to pollute the Western mind. They want us to get in bed with them more, or to look to Europe, who is an ocean away, just like China. Not a proximity neighbor, but a neighbor far away. A neighbor that doesn't have our best interests at heart. They have been desperately trying to start World War III with Russia, committing suicide in the process as they cut off their proximity partner, which is the Russians, cutting off their gas supplies, destroying their economies, fighting a proxy war that should have never happened for all the reasons I highlight in my videos. We want to partner with the people that are destroying the world. We want to partner with the people of Europe, the governments of Europe, that are not our friends. The Americans have been our best friends. We have lived under their security umbrella for decades. Their missiles, their military has been protecting us to the point where our government has successively denuded our military, left us completely defenseless. We rely on them so much that we've stopped defending ourselves. We are the toxic partner in the relationship. Now, back to the point. The provinces and the influencer class and our leadership that doesn't seem to understand how bad this federation is, how bad a deal it is for the people, how bad a deal it is for the land, how bad a deal the Indian Act is for the native population. They seem to be in denial about everything. How bad a deal our healthcare system is. One of the most expensive in the world, delivering the poorest standard of care. Why are they so committed to it? You can explain this by making a comparison to a toxic relationship. I think most of us have been in one at one time or another in our life. That's where we go to work and we come home and we work all night fighting with our partner. And we think that we got to try and make it work. We think that it's just one understanding away. It's just one small change away. We bend ourselves in pretzels to try and make it work, only in the end to have two people part ways and possibly end up far happier. Thank God I walked away from the relationships I was in before I met my wife. If I had have stayed out of a concept of love and loyalty to something that was so toxic, thinking it was me or thinking it was them and we just had to adjust, neither would I be happy now, but they wouldn't be happy either. And the chance for that happiness wouldn't exist. It wouldn't manifest. Well, that's where we find ourselves politically. We're sitting here in a broken federation, heavily in debt, overrun with drug manufacturing and cartels. Your city streets are littered with fence zombies and meth heads. I've shown you how money laundering is one of our biggest industries and drug export another. I've showed you how the Australians depend on Canada for their hard drugs. I've shown you how people die by the thousands on our waiting lists and how the COVID mandates killed thousands more. I put the receipts on it. Mainstream sources, because that's what you want. Open, public, government documents admitting these things. I am telling the truth. This ain't the truth. This idea that America is our enemy? They're our natural partners. We're coming into a world where China dominates. They talk about the Russian threat. If Russia is really a geopolitical threat to North America, I would encourage you to open a map book and look at it. Where are we operational? Whose border is a war being propagated on? Not just by the Russians, but by the Ukrainians and NATO who keep this thing going. Where is the conflict in the world that is supported by Europeans and the current political class in North America, which the Trump administration is trying to eliminate? They are uncovering a scale of corruption in the United States, which everybody should be celebrating. We're sitting here in Canada with our noses in the air, talking with arrogance about how bad the Americans are. Meanwhile, they're in the process of fixing their government. They're uncovering fraud on a scale that deserves its own video. They got 340 million people in their country, and there's 394 million people registered to Social Security. How many of those are drawing checks and cashing them on behalf of the taxpayer, and nobody in government has ever looked? Trump came into office in 2016 on a promise to look, and they immediately assaulted him with every kind of legal pressure, with Russiagate and Golden Gate and all of the other gates, and then stole an election in 2020, and then tried to bury him in legalistic nonsense. They tried to kill him at least two times, and now he's back with abandon, and he's got a team around him. They're destined to fix America, to eliminate their financial problems, to get rid of the waste, fraud, and abuse, to get the DEI rot out of everything and to restore America to greatness. And they're casting their eye to the world, and they're seeing that this problem is everywhere. There's a rot. This person and people like them like to talk about the United Nations. They like to talk about the World Economic Forum. They like to talk about the Paris Climate Treaty. But they don't seem to realize that there's only one nation in the world right now heading in a different direction. And that is the United States of America. And they've extended to us a fig leaf. They've said, cast out your corruption. Deal with your drug problem. Deal with your terrorist problem. Deal with your money laundering problem. We will help you. And if you want, you can have something that the rest of the world would love to have, and that is statehood, the powerful constitution and citizenship and far more representation than you've ever got out of this federation. If you don't want statehood because you're too proud and stubborn, you're too blind to actually see what a beautiful gift it is, we still need to address our federation. We need a renegotiation of the entire deal. And every premier that I listed at the beginning of this video, they don't have that vision. They're like somebody who's dedicated to an abusive partner. They go home every night and get beat. And then they wake up the next day and they do it again for decades now. When are we going to learn? Do you want peace? Do you want security? Do you actually want to counter Russia and China in a lasting way? Do you want to end the forever wars? Do you want to get out of the empire that everybody complains that exists? I've seen people make the argument that Canada went into Afghanistan chasing the Americans and that we helped clean up their mess and we've always been there for them as a military partner. We contribute such a small percent to their military efforts. But none of these things were goods. What were we doing in the first place? What created those issues? What is your history? Read some books. Stop talking. Start understanding how we got here. Fortress North America is one of the best, most visionary ideas that has come along in 100 years. North American nationalism is something that needs to be developed. This idea that we have something special, that in the new world we can create a republic that is resistant to the global socialism that is promoted by all of the organizations that you're smart enough to hate, but not smart enough to hate when it comes to seeing the one government that's actually trying to solve for the problem. And some say, what happens if it corrupts? Trump won't be around forever. What happens if we get a blue president? What happens if Canada joins and it's a blue president forever? Look, there's no promised land. The fight never ends. That's another myth that your influencer class and your politicians always like to propagate. They don't tell you the truth. I'm here to tell you the truth. It never stops. The struggle never ends. If we do something noble and we do something good and we take an opportunity to create a fortress North America that is presented to us right now and it corrupts down the road, that is a separate problem. It's our fight to make sure that it doesn't. But if it does, then I guess God wills it. And we did what we could anyway. As long as we are here, we should struggle for the best. And the best that we can do is fortifying North America against these very organizations that I have so named. The United States and Canada are siblings separated at birth. We are two in the same family, but we could be one. The people who boo their anthem continue to sing our anthem by its old words, changed by those who tell us America is our foe now. How can we reconcile that? How are the people that fill the arenas, that boo the national anthem, dumb enough to do that, and yet at the same time, they're smart enough to say the words, all thy sons command, instead of the new woke nonsense words? And has Polyev, for all of his good points, has he talked about restoring our anthem and de-wokeifying it? Who is going to protect Canada in the end from this pursuit towards World War III? Polyev supports it. Everybody in the House of Commons supports it. This idea of divorce from the United States. We have to buy crude oil to mix with our crude oil so that we can actually make it move through pipelines. Do you realize that? We've resisted building refining capacity. We've resisted building pipelines. When the person I showed you earlier talks about building resilience and the divorce and making us a diverse economy and all these things, these are things that should have been done decades ago. It's getting to be too late in the game for this kind of talk. We have decided to marry the United States, and the reason we did it is because they're right there. They're a market that's 10 times the size of Canada's. They're right there, and they've been more than happy to reach out and shake our hand this entire time. We went from being a nation that finished singing their national anthem when the microphones cut out to booing them. You snip, snap, because you're told to by the people who have destroyed your lifestyle, the people who have destroyed your culture, the people who have destroyed your country. Now you're jumping like automatons along with them because I guess that's what you're built to do. There are a lot of leaders in the world who are actually followers. They just want to be seen. They just want to stand on the street corner and preach to be seen by their heroes. They want a seat at the winning table. They want to feel important. I'm Frank Vaughn. I don't want to feel important. I want to go to sleep at night. And I want to die at the end of a life well lived, knowing that I did the best that I could. That's what I'm concerned with. One day I'm going to meet my maker, and I'm going to have to answer for everything I ever did wrong. Or if there is no maker, when I lie on that bed and I'm at the end of my road, I'm going to have to face myself and I'm going to have to ask myself, did I leave to my children a legacy of effort? Did I tell the truth? Every day, I sit with my kids and I teach them. I wake up and we talk and I drink my coffee and I ask of them. When they're being mean to each other, I coach them and say, don't be mean. When they call each other names, which is blessedly rare because they're good kids, I tell them, use better words. I have to provide that example. I see so many people online that just cuss and curse and swear and demean. They don't go deep. They're very shallow and superficial. That's the legacy they leave for their kids. I have to face my legacy. I want my legacy to be one of truth and that I actually stood for the right thing. And you know what the right thing is right now? As hard as it is for a lot of people to realize, the truth. Canada is a broken concept. Canada is not its system. Canada is not its state. Canada is a people. It is a land. The system and the state have pillaged it and destroyed it, and now they want to give you even more pain. And these influencers and these people who support the pain, they're going to bring it to you, and they will never miss a meal. They're quite happy picking up pennies in front of freight trains. I'm not. I have a conscience. I have to live with myself. I have to know that I tried. So I do something different. Now, I know this video was a little different. I had other plans. I was going to show you things on the internet, but I'd rather just speak from the heart. I'd rather speak from the soul. I'd rather just tell you the truth. This is the truth. We have an opportunity here to fix corruption and make our society far less evil. We should take it. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you like this video work, please consider supporting it through the website. I thank all of you who have supported it, and more importantly, all of you who evangelize, all of you who are in the live streams talking about me in the comments section, all of you who share, you guys are what give this value. You're what make it work. I love every single one of you. Without you, I am nothing. We are equals. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link and one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.